And time to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
And what's happening in the wonderful world of wine, mate?
Well, Peter, according to the headlines of ABC News this morning, one of the headline stories, a third of the country's vineyards are going to go bankrupt.
Oh, good grief.
Because of this coronavirus. And, you know, it's divided society into two, really, Peter. Those that work for government and pseudo-government institutions, and those that are going to go bankrupt. Or, of course, Coles and Woolworths, where all the billions of extra aid have ended up. They're doing pretty well. But, it's a complete unfair redistribution of wealth.
So what do we do? We've got to get around this somewhere. And I mean,
well,
just to simply throw...
We have to get the country going. As you know, the Prime Minister made a speech yesterday, Peter, and he almost paraphrased word for word what you and I discussed on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Every single thing that he mentioned, other than the fact that we had suggested it was time to ease the screws a bit, you know, maybe... Let cellar doors, have visitors at some sort of capacity. We'd suggested, maybe if a restaurant could open at half or a quarter capacity, same for clubs and hotels and things. Peter, we've hit the nail on the head. Maybe it's fortunate, but it's just good mathematical analysis. So, as I said before, given the right parameters, any math student could have figured it out. And I believe this morning, Peter, we had 20 new cases in Australia.
Good grief.
We are bankrupting the country. We are bankrupting the country's citizens over 20 cases of coronavirus. And as the Prime Minister said yesterday, paraphrasing at least six things that we said, Peter, and in the letter, the email after the show, I sent, always send a copy of our broadcast, Peter, to the Prime Minister, to the Premier of New South Wales, the health ministers of both federal and state. I sent it to all the news outlets, expressing our views and our listeners' views, I would hope, about what is going on and what has to be done. I just can't understand, Peter. We've said it 100 times that even the last 3 or 4 days when the cases have been around 40, between 40 and 50, we've said that's the recorded database. That's when the symptoms showed up. The infection was 6 days earlier, Peter, and that the infection rate probably when the cases are 40 or 50 a day are like 20 to 30. And, well, guess what, Peter? They were 20 this morning.
Yes.
They did dip down quite a bit after the long weekend because we joked about sick people don't want to go to the hospital on a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then they rose a bit after the long weekend. Now they're back down to 20. And we're going to have to learn to live with that, Peter. Zero may be, an unattainable figure. As we pointed out on our broadcast and in the email we sent to the Prime Minister, you think, and of course this is New Zealand's folly, they might get it to zero, Peter, but in 2 weeks or 2 months or 6 months, they're going to have an outbreak, just like in the Tasmanian hospitals. And here's the point. Did they handle the Tasmanian hospital outbreak, Peter? Did they close the hospital down? Did they round up everybody that had come in contact with those people and test them and found another half a dozen cases or whatever they found, 11 cases, I think, altogether? And they contained it, Peter. But do you think that outbreak affected New South Wales or Queensland or even Victoria? It didn't. And any outbreak here, that we had the outbreak in Western Sydney at the hospital out there, they
yep.
contained it. Did it affect the rest of the country? No.
No.
You have to learn to live with it, Peter. You don't bankrupt everybody. Even Germany, Italy's opening up, Peter. They started to come down from the lockdown. They've got thousands of cases a day. Spain, Germany, even the United States has announced that they're going to start lifting the lockdown. They've got 20,000, 25,000 cases a day. But you have to do it properly and in a measured way. But you can't I don't know what's wrong with these people. I mean, it's been obvious for weeks and weeks what was going to happen, Peter, because, and you and I can't be the smartest people in the world, or at least in Australia, but it was clear to us the path, where it was going.
Yep.
And there's no planning. You know, it's it just boggles my mind. And I'm a bit disappointed in yesterday's announcement. It shows no vision. And all it did is, you know, Ockham's razor I mentioned in the email I sent out yesterday, Peter, and that's what it is. You know, when you clear away everything else, then the obvious is probably what occurred. And I think we're having an influence, Peter, but we're not having a big enough influence, and we should, because we've given a lot of very, very accurate and good advice, Peter.
Yes, and it looks like people are listening. By the way, I happened, as you know, I read day in, day out different pamphlets that come in to see whether or not I can benefit. And I opened Aldi's pamphlet yesterday, and guess what they're now selling?
No, what?
Organic wine.
Oh, yes, well, yeah. Well, you know what? They're predators to some extent, Peter. What happens is there are so many vineyards and wineries in trouble, and a lot of them, because of the Treasury Wines fiasco, the Treasury Wines, and this, we do a whole program on this, they destroyed Australia's international reputation and sales by selling wine like beer and trying to compete with China and Argentina. All they did is they convinced that the foreigners, you know, in the UK, in the particularly UK, which is one of the biggest markets, and the United States, that Australian wine is cheap, just like Chile and Argentina. I've said it many, many times, Peter. You go into the average supermarket in the United States, and there's maybe 20 brands of Australian beer there from $4.99 a bottle, Peter, to maybe $8.99 a bottle. Next to them, there might be a dozen or 15 New Zealand wines from $11.99 to $18.99. And the reason is New Zealand didn't whore their wine all over the place and try and compete with Chile and Argentina.
Mm.
And there's where the problem comes in. It'll never recover, Peter. Take 50 years to recover. Because our foreign friends, and when they go in the supermarket, they are convinced you could put a bottle of Australian wine there for $11.99. It'd probably sit there for years, Peter. Because Treasury Wines has convinced everybody that Australian wine's worth $5 a bottle.
Oh, gee.
And even then they couldn't sell it. And so what happened is they started dumping it in Australia. And Yellowtail, there was a big article in the paper, they bought 20 million litres of wine from Argentina. And they didn't renew their contracts of the growers that they have all over Australia. So you got all this cheap, cheap wine with nothing to, you know, nobody can do anything with it.
No. Well, that's understandable. I mean, I've seen the benefits of organic wine, and in particular, a cellar organic wine.
Peter, you know, we do our best here to produce a good drop. As you know, early on, we don't go in very many shows anymore because it seems, you know, no point. We won about 20, 30 medals and trophies in the first few years after we launched nearly 10 years ago. It is 10 years ago, Peter. We were, the vineyard's quite mature, as you know, because we were, this vineyard was one of those growers of organic wine, mind you, that supplied other wineries to bottle for their wine. But Cellar Organic Wine was launched about 10 years ago, won a lot of medals and trophies, Peter, and it's a nice drop, as you and I know, and we're trying to bring that message to a lot of other people.
Oh, yes, mate, and we need them to go to your website, give you a ring. I mean, you can still deliver.
Yes, yes, we can. Cellarwines.com.au or call us here at the vineyard. We're happy to talk to anybody. Our friends of Acela, Peter, have been really good in trying to support us, but a lot of them, you know, both husband and wife are unemployed now. And, you know, it's, and the lineups for Santa Lake, you, if you think, you know, we've been through the bushfire disaster grant process, Peter, months,
yeah.
months, And then at the end they say, oh, you don't qualify. Because the fact you lost 100% of your crop, and you have no business because it was, you know, smoke, the valley was smoked out, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant, Peter. You only get things like psychological counseling, help for psychological counseling. They'll pay for that. They'll pay for direct cleanup, like labor if you, you know, if your whole place burnt down, except for your house. You have to clean that up yourself because your house is not covered. But most people do have insurance, so hopefully. But the way the vineyards are now, the most people can't afford insurance anymore, Peter.
It's so. It's a very fine line, isn't it? Survival and going forward.
Yeah, and this is a wonderful program, put money in unemployed people's hands. But when the company shut down, Peter, how many people can they employ?
Exactly right.
It shut down, mate. You're giving this money to those people, and that's good, stopping them from starving. But who are the beneficiaries, Peter? Woolworths and Coles and Aldi's and all those that have had to hire 20,000 extra people each to help those money.
Do you know what I discovered also listening to the news was the fact that now people who got some grants are spending more on alcohol, which in turn is creating more problems.
Yeah, well, social problems.
Yes.
I just written a paper the other day that social problems have increased dramatically since the lockdown has occurred. And there's no reason for it, Peter. There is no reason that the beaches aren't open so families can go down and have a swim. Okay, outlaw sunbaking. You go to the beach, you build a sandcastle, kids and their parents go for a swim, they come out and they go home. Go for a walk in the park, you know? Keep your social distance from strangers. There's just no reason for those types of things. All it does is foment civil unrest, you know, like social unrest. We're not civil unrest yet, but we're social unrest. Nobody's happy. Even the newspapers are saying the citizens are not happy.
That's right.
And now, see, we got locked up, Peter, because of some irresponsible backpackers in Bondi primarily and a stupid decision by the government to, you know, let all those Ruby Princess passengers go. That's more than half our problem. Three-quarters of our problem we've suffered from. Now we're down to 20 cases yesterday in Australia, and we can identify where those 20 cases came from. You know, it came from a hospital in Victoria and a rest home out in Western Sydney. I mean, it's nuts. If we don't think we can handle, you know, little outbreaks, little pockets, you know, when somebody gets ill, and it's going to happen. You can't lock the country down again, Peter, because you got five cases over there, you know, somewhere, in a, you know, from a infected person. Because even when we go back to work, Peter, even with the 14 days quarantine, there are exemptions. Airline pilots and stewardesses are exempt. You know, VIPs are exempt. Government people are exempt. Healthcare workers are exempt. You were always going to have people coming into the country. They're exempt from the quarantine. There are going to be outbreaks, Peter. And what's the difference now? You know, in having 20 cases, China has an outbreak on the northern borders, but outside of that, they were down to like 20 to 30 a day. And they learned to live with it. And we've got to learn to live with it. And this ideal thing, well, gee, 4 weeks, he says, you know, before we open up, we're going to get rid of this virus. It's you know, a dream pipe, Peter. It's not going to happen. What we've done is amazing. It's fantastic. It's what we said would happen. It's gone down to a very low manageable level. And we got to get the country moving. You know, if we don't have the money, you know, invested in the right place, and clearly we don't, according to the Prime Minister's statement yesterday, we don't have enough testing, we don't have enough virus detectives, as I coined the phrase here a couple of weeks back, to track down the people. If we don't have enough, it's the government's fault, Peter, because they have spent hundreds of billions of dollars. You know, why didn't they spend it where it has to be?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, so anyway, Peter, that's, you know, they say flattery is the greatest form of whatever the heck it is. No, it's the other way around. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Oh, dear,
and, either, you know, they've had an inspiration after we've put all the facts forward, Peter, or they have some smarter people other than those Chicken Little experts, which is my new definition of those experts from Melbourne and even here in Newcastle that predicted 14 million cases in Australia and 400,000 deaths and, you know, 3 years of infections and on and on. And I've renamed those people, Peter, those epidemiologists, Chicken Little experts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they want to be careful playing with chickens. They might get plucked.
Exactly, and I don't know if Chicken Little is, it's probably an insult to Chicken Little, actually.
dear.
He didn't have the wherewithal, but these people are supposed to have it, Peter.
Yeah, that's true. Mate, nice to catch up with you. People know the website, and let's hope that they will continue to order throughout all of this.
Peter, and let's hope that the government comes to a reality of the fact that, you know, we got to start getting this place moving again.
That's for sure. All right, mate.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye now. And, of course, the website we're talking about is thecellarwine.com.au.